Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley here. I've got Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince with me to talk about Illinois' 93-87 victory over Wisconsin to win the 2024 Big Ten men's basketball tournament and become the champions of the Big Ten. After being the 2 seed, Illinois was victorious over the 5 seed Wisconsin, who upset Purdue to make their way into this tournament. Brad, you were here. You were courtside. Exciting, exciting game. The crowd was rocking. Tell us a little bit about the experience and what jumped out at you.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a really great atmosphere and also a really high-level basketball game. I mean, you give Wisconsin credit for the shot they made. I mean, Weisman hitting those tough threes. Chucky Hepburn hitting tough shots, really played big. AJ Storr in the first half. So give Wisconsin credit for the way they played, and I thought Illinois really turned it up. And you saw what they did, and this is, I don't know if we talked about this, but we'll talk about more about it later. But I think the key point, there were two things that happened that were keys for me. When Chucky Hepburn got going in the second half, you saw what Illinois did. They put Terrence Shannon on him. And they said, all right, here we go. Let's turn that water off. The second thing was the Ty Rogers rebound, offensive rebound kick out for the Marcus DeMass three. I thought those were the two pivotal plays. I mean, you could pick out a lot of things, but those were plays where I thought really were huge momentum swings that really changed the way, two things that changed the way from going from 10 down to, you know, winning the game, you know, by six.
Ed?
Well, for me, I'm going to tell you, I did like the change. I like the change with Coach Underwood going Terrence on Chucky. I think Ty did a really good job. I think Chucky was having a great day, and I think the officiating, it got tight, and they were calling it both ways. I'm not saying anything about the officiating. To be honest with you, I wouldn't make this. I think Illinois got away with a couple of things today, and I traditionally don't say that. One was, you know, I think Ty Rogers went over the back once, and, you know, but I just think – this is the one time I think we got a couple calls. But anyway, I just think for Wisconsin to go toe-to-toe with Illinois, and every time Illinois make a run, they had guys that are shot makers. I don't remember what their seed was, but I think if they play the way they're playing right now with Storr, they're going to be a dangerous out for somebody. It's not going to be a cakewalk. They're playing their best basketball right now. And I can assure you, that as much as the Illinois people are sick of Zach Edey and want to see him gone, the rest of the conference wants to see Terrence Shannon gone. That kid, young man, is just punishing people. He's leaving points on the board. I mean, there's times where he could just continue to go. I think if they really let him go, you know, on the telecast they talked about, you know, Coach K, you know, letting him go and Brad letting him be who he is, he probably could have got 30 a game. I mean, he is just – a difference maker. And I think Illinois fans should just really, really, you know, take a step back. And this kid is special. We can all debate best player, second best player, top five. I mean, he has a chance to do something still that a lot of players that hasn't, you know, they've not done it at Illinois. So, I mean, it's a great game. They were down by 10 in every single one of these tournament games and came back. I know we'll talk about the brackets later, but truthfully, they can play with anybody. I don't even care. They can play with anybody.
Yeah, and I do think it's important to note that Shannon scored 34 points on 15 field goals attempts. That is just amazing. Another incredible night there. Got to the line 17 times, made 15 of them. As a comparison, AJ Storr had 24 points, but he did it on 20 shots. And he did go 8-for-10 from the free throw line. So I thought Storr looked like maybe a year younger version of Shannon, probably not quite as fast, but every bit as athletic. And of course, obviously Chucky was doing quite a lot as well. Brad, when it came down to the fact, Illinois ended up out rebounding the Badgers by 7, and really Illinois had quite the team effort. You know, when you throw Damask playing bully ball, Shannon all over the place. And then you still had Gary Ayer with 6, Rogers and Hawkins with 7, and Danger with 9. So it was a pretty balanced attack across the board. once you took the two Supermen out of the mix?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job of the glasses, especially the second half. I thought in the first half, you know, we were sitting courtside. Illinois only gave up 6 offensive rebounds, but Wisconsin scored 14 points on those 6 offensive rebounds, which is just an insane number when you look at that. So I think that's where, you know, that's what kept it close in the first half. And then Wisconsin scored in their first 7 possessions of the second half to build a deficit. So I think then Illinois started taking advantage themselves by attacking the offensive glass. They did a better job on the defensive glass. I still feel like they leave a lot of rebounds out there. It seems like they're like, they're multiple times. There are 3 Illinois guys standing there, and somehow somebody on the other team comes up with the ball, or it ends up getting tied up or something. It's just, it's really odd. It seems like they just, once or twice a game, they find a way to not get a ball. And so, but this is a team, they don't have the Kofi Coburn inside who can just, you know, grab every rebound. So they have to gang rebound. And when they do that, they're really impressive. And, you know, shout out to Ty Rogers, who is, I told him he's the same Dennis Rodman after the game. That's my new name for him. He's Dennis Rodman without the insanity. We're talking about that, how he reads the ball coming off the rim. And a really impressive player.
I'm going to lead with Ty Rogers, and I'm going to tell the Illinois fans, if this kid learns how to shoot a basketball, I mean, 30%, he is going to be an NBA player, a top 15, 20 NBA player. He does everything. There's nothing else he doesn't do except for shoot a 15-foot, 20-foot jump shot. He gets to the rack now with ease. He's one reason why I made the comment, you can play with anybody. I've watched tournament games, we all have. And all these guards are just shooting threes, and it's great. None of them can do what Ty Rogers can do. What Illinois does to me, what's impressive, they get you in foul trouble. They take advantage of every mismatch, and as those guards may shoot threes, but they're going to have to guard Ty on the other end, and he doesn't care. You have to pick your poison. They will exploit a mismatch. It doesn't matter who it is. That is probably the most impressive thing I like about this team. They all do. If they see a mouse in the trap, they're going for it. They're going in the house. They're going to go get it, because he looks like now he's found a spot. Last year in the tournament and the season, he was clueless. I mean, his offensive rebounds is giving them so many more opportunities. He's the glue on the team, and I want to give. If there was a guy I could just give a high five to right now, Dane Danger. You know, I would, to be honest with you, I'd be pouting, and that's so unprofessional for me to say. I'd be mad. And the reason I want to say his name, tonight when Marcus Domas went up with that shot, Dane should have got a technical foul. He was the first guy off that bench, and he was screaming in that Wisconsin player's ear for grabbing Marcus like that. I kudos to that young man, because he has stayed the course. We know what coaches speak is. They're going to say everything politically correct. I'm happy for that kid. And I hope whatever happens in the future, I hope he stays in Illinois, because there's a need for him. There's a need for him, his rebounding, and he does. He said after Friday night's game, you know, I'm locked in, I'm engaged, I want to do what the team needs. They need a rebounding. You know, Mike, is what you're asking about. He does that. He gives them something different. And his drop coverage defense, it's improved. It's not as bad as it once was either.
Yeah, the interesting thing was plus minus. Dane was at plus 14 again. Luke Goody was at plus 14. And Coleman Hawkins was at plus 9. Terrence Shannon plus 3. Terrence Shannon plus 6 and Domask at 3. And then probably bringing up the bottom line is ironically Quincy Guerriere at negative 8 and then Justin Harmon at negative 10. So we saw quite a range there, Brad. As we go into the NCAA tournament, do you think this is going to be the 1-2 punch, and they've kind of settled into this, and then the third person will be variable, or do you think they'll do more for Coleman Hawkins to get him involved? Because it seems like right now, it's really the big two, and then everybody else you know, makes you pay when you overemphasize either one of those two.
But if the Big Two are going to score 60 on about 25 shots, you just let them cook, right?
Yep.
I mean, like, seriously, you just let them go. And so I think that's where they were. You know, Coleman actually, after the game, talked a little bit about that. He talked about how, you know, he wasn't shooting the ball as well this week, didn't feel as comfortable for some reason. So, you know, he wasn't forcing it offensively. And I mentioned Dane. I think Dane can be that third guy, too. He can do some really good things. And I talked to him a little bit after the game, and Ted, you mentioned his defense. And he even brought it up. He said, I'm locked in on defense. He said, sometimes in my career I haven't been, but I'm locked in on defense now. And so it's like, it's amazing how, you know, it just kind of, he's figured it out. He's grown. And you saw him out there guarding Prowl on the perimeter, getting out on screens. He was in a good position. I just thought he's so much more locked in. And so, and you know what he can do on the offensive end, you know, with the attacking offensive glass, score near the basket, you know, posting up and then running the floor. We saw that for a layup too. So, you know, they have a lot of pieces, and, you know, Luke Goody made big shots yesterday, but the underrated part about Goody, you mentioned Goody being a plus 10 or whatever it was. The reason he's so important is because they don't leave him. They weren't leaving Terrence. So when Marcus Smart is posting up, you got a guy standing on the weak side block for an offensive rebound or for a dump down, and you got four guys spaced around the perimeter. You're not leaving Goody, and you're not leaving Shannon. So Marcus Smart is just able to go one-on-one, and they can't guard him. And so, that's like, to your point, Ted, that's the mismatch. They find that mismatch, they exploit it, and that's where Goody really is valuable, even if he doesn't make a shot, because he spaces the floor. He creates the opening that are available for Shannon at the basket, and that's why those role players are so important.
And people in the Big Ten know he can shoot the basketball, so they have to honor that. Mike, to answer your question, I still think it's Coleman. I will say Coleman. Coleman has not looked to shoot the three ball since the Iowa game, but for his body work, he's been that third guy all season. And, you know, and if he didn't feel comfortable shooting the basketball, I mean, I guess I'm kind of okay with it because he still got the ball to the rack. He made key free throws all the time when he had to. He made good blocks. I want to tell you guys something else. I think Coleman, I'm just going to say it, Coleman is a better defensive player when he doesn't have to guard five. When Dane's in that game, look at the block shot against Battle the other night. You know, I don't know who it was he swatted off the glass today. When he doesn't have to play the five and he can roam around and guard guys his position, he's dangerous. I know he can shoot the basketball. And what a lot of teams are not going to do, you know, obviously you got to win. The Morehead State, you got to win. But, you know, let's be honest, they should win that game. He's going to be a mismatch problem for a matchup problems for a lot of people, because a lot of people don't have bigs that they can shoot like that. I've watched the SEC games, the ACC games. I've not seen it. So he is that X factor, the third guy. And Mike, you mentioned plus and minuses. I'm going to take the minuses with my guy, Quincy, and I'm going to throw it in the trash can, because I'm going to give him a plus 10 with the eye test. He rebounds and he does things well. He may, you know, I know people are into analytics and plus and minuses, but he passes the eye test because he makes some big threes at crucial times. And I'm not going to, I can't hate on him for that. I just can't.
No, and it, like I said, he had a good game, obviously. Hey, a couple.
Go ahead. In on Quincy real quick. You know what Quincy can't do? He can't cut the net down because he cut his finger while he was cutting the net down in the championship ceremony. So evidently he needs to work with scissors.
Oh my gosh.
He's fine though. It's funny, he was joking about it after the game when I talked to him. But yeah, he had a little bandage on. He cut his middle finger when he was cutting the net down. So pretty funny.
Yeah, like the shades of Fraser Crane running around in Cheers yelling, "I'm running with scissors." Come on, Quincy, don't do that. So for Illini guys, fans of either the Sports Spectacular or obviously Eye on the Illini, tomorrow night we'll be recording our NCAA tournament show. So we'll have more on that when we can do a little bit more prep work and get people good information. Brad, any closing thoughts here on another year? It seems like if under Brad Underwood, Illinois loses in the first round or wins the whole thing. Any other Big Ten tournament thoughts?
Well, I mean, this is their third, third Big Ten championship. You know, 21, they win the tournament. 20, and, you know, legitimately, you did an argument to say they won the whole league, you know, reality, you know, based on, because Michigan didn't finish their game. 22, they win the league, right?
Yep.
In the regular season. And then 20 this year, they win the Big Ten tournament. I'll be honest with you, when you are winning a Big Ten tournament too this year, I thought, just like in 21, that was a really good tournament. When you look at the level of play they had in 21 with Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan, and Iowa, all top, basically top 10 teams. And then you have this year where you got the best team, you know, Purdue, who's a top, you know, and Wisconsin, both, you know, Purdue's a top 4 team, Wisconsin's a, you know, top 20 team. You have to beat those. You got a hot Nebraska team. They had to beat Ohio State team that actually kept their coach and was playing extremely well and won 5 in a row, including a win over Purdue. I'm really thinking that this was a really impressive run. I'm not sure we appreciate it until you kind of sit back and look at what they did. And like Ed mentioned, you know, they had double digits. They trailed by double digits the second half of every game and came back and won. Now, that's not something you want to – that's not a recipe for success. But at the same time, it definitely means that you have the ability to make comebacks at any time. And that's what this team can do because they're so good on offense. And the, when they turn it up, they have the ability to make a run on anybody. And that will include, if they get there, Iowa State or UConn in the NCAA tournament.
I want to – close with this, gentlemen. I want to give kudos to Brad Underwood. This dude is taking a beating for not doing things right, doing this right. People are panicking. People are being critical, me being one of them, about the press break, whatever. This dude has more wins than anybody in the Big Ten. I think he's up 3 now on Matt Painter. He won a Big Ten tournament championship. It's time to start giving this guy credit. And I'm just going to let people know who listen to this podcast. I was really advocating for him to win Big Ten Coach of the Year. I really was. And I text Coach Underwood and I said, listen, I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm advocating for you. Mike, you know this to be true. He said he did not care about that award. He wants W's. And if you win, you cut down the net. At the end of the day, he's right. Because he's proven how good he is. You know, like we've all talked about Coleman Hawkins, you can get mad, but the grass is not always greener on the other side. You're going to compete with Brad Underwood. There's no more rebuilding. People want to be there. He puts people in the right place. And people like me complain about Dane not playing, and I did it. I'm going to own what I got to own. Other people can lie and hide it if they want. Dane has become a better player, and now he is a factor in the offense. He's going to be a factor in the NCAA tournament. People were asking why he didn't play last, you know, Saturday. It was a bad matchup. Today it wasn't. So I kudos to this, not just Brad, but the staff, Chester, Tim, Tyler, all those guys who go out and they recruit these players because they bring these players in. And Terrence Shannon, I remember talking to his mother. The thing she said to me, he wanted to come home. You guys, we're all the same age. Players didn't say that. You know, well, they don't say it anymore. Parents wanted to be here. This kid, this coach has turned this program around where players want to be here. It's okay to stay home. We got a recruit in 2025, Jeremiah Fears, whose dad is wanting him to stay home to represent his home state university. Iyo Dosunmu did it. Illinois is in a good place. Don't be so quick to judge and to be critical because you could be like Iowa and not be in the tournament, or Minnesota and not be in the tournament.
Yep. All right, guys, we appreciate that. They're breaking down things here at the Target Center, and they're going to be breaking Matt and I right out of the building here. So we are going to leave it at this, folks. We will be back tomorrow night with a feature on the NCAA tournament. It'll be in-depth. We'll have quite a panel. Look forward to that tomorrow night. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on. We hope you all the fans have enjoyed our coverage here of the Big Ten tournament, and we are looking forward to getting out to Omaha and covering what hopefully is a successful and long Illini run in this NCAA tournament. For Brad Sturdy and for Kedrick Prince, this is Mike Kegley saying, go Illini!